God bless you. You may be seated. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When God spoke that to my heart, I walked into the sanctuary behind Brother Pastor. And God said, the river is rising. And I really felt it. And so I know that we're in for something. And I'm just going to encourage you not to miss a service, not to miss a night. I've told you time and again, this revival is not about the Assemblies of God, John Davis, Pastor Baser. It's about the glory of the Lord that's come back to the church. Awesome things are going on here. And there is a verse, or a couple verses, that God wants you to hear today. And so I want you to turn in your Bible to St. Mark, the third division. And as you turn there, on purpose, I'm going to wait till you get there, because I want you to look long and hard at some verses that really, I believe, is going to jump out and just dance the Holy Ghost jig in front of your eyes. Amen. Indelibly be inbred within your spirit. Mark, the third division, verse number 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Say, be with him. That he might send them forth to preach, to have power to heal sicknesses, to cast out devils. Now, ladies and gentlemen, four things. Be with him, preach, heal sick, cast out devils. We major on the last three. But the top priority, the prime priority that God calls any of us, and all of us here are ambassadors of Christ, and we're all ministers of reconciliation. The prime priority of your life is not to cast out devils, to heal the sick, preach the gospel, but number one, to be with him. Say it with me. To be with him. Because you see, all of these things that you're doing as mere mortal man and human flesh, with all the efforts that you have can conjure up, it's going to be sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, exercise in futility, unless you are with him. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the prime priority. That's the number one call, to be with him. You can reach out all you want to others, but if you're not reaching up, what do you have to give? You can't give what you don't have. He can only flow out as he flows in. And all of our busyness, ladies and gentlemen, the prime priority, to be with him. This revival is about that. It's not about an evangelist. It's not about great preaching. It's not about pulpiteer ability. It's about God's people hungering to spend time with him. This last great wave of God's glory, there are three words that God wants you to hear on this Sunday morning. The first two words have been going over and over in my spirit for many, many months. It's only recently that God put the third word along with it. But the two words, number one is intimacy. Say intimacy. Number two, intensity. Number one, intimacy. Ladies and gentlemen, thank God for the relationship we have as sons and daughters with God. But serving Jesus is not just about a relationship, it's about fellowship. I remember asking a man one time, you know, how's your son doing? He said, I really don't know, because he really doesn't come and see me. And so you don't have to convince me that you're a child of God. It's between you and the Lord. But I'm telling you right now, it's more than the relationship that God wants. He wants some fellowship. Fellowship will take care of those fears that you're wrestling with, to know that he's with you. Fellowship will take care of that secret sin that you've been trying to defeat and overcome and overwhelm yourself. It's impossible to do it, folks. Devil will jerk your string, and you'll be commandeered by him forever if you don't get alone with God and spend time with him. Because it's not what you do for him, it's what he does through you. Your walk with him is more important than your work for him. Everything's said and done. Smoke clears, dust settles. All of human effort's going to fail in insignificance. But what you allow him to do in you, to you, and through you is going to last. And so, intimacy. And I've told you before, and if you'll pardon reiteration, there are degrees of relationship and fellowship with Christ. You know, there are those that follow afar off in the peripheral. They're outside. They watch. They're commentators. They have something to say, and they'll tell you what they've seen, but they haven't seen the full story. They know him by association and reputation and denomination and education, but they don't know him by revelation because they're afar off. But then there is that crowd that's closer. There's the 70 that he calls. Anoints, appoints, he sends out. They're ordained. Ladies and gentlemen, no doubt about it. I'm not going to minimize their experience with God. But then there is the 12. They're just a little bit closer. And they're with him always. But then there is the 3. And he taketh Peter, James, and John with him up into a mountain, into the house of Jairus. If you will, into the Garden of Gethsemane. the inner circle. Oh, I want to be in that inner circle. You're looking at a preacher that's so hungry for him today. I've told you time and again, and this is all you will hear until Jesus comes. I'm sick of myself, but I'm hungry for him. I want to spend time with him. But then there is John the Beloved, who leaned upon his bosom, and John got the revelation. How many wants to have the revelation? Amen. I'm talking about a closeness. The first word is intimacy. He doesn't want you to fall in love with the principal. He wants you to fall in love with the prince. He wants you to fall in love with him. He's not a formula. You know, you don't just say you do this, that, the other, and he's got to do this, that, and the other. No, he's a person. Not just a force, he's a person. And one illustration to illustrate this is, and I've used this different times in preaching revivals, you know, God doesn't always move the same way in the same time, and sometimes he comes in another form, and we don't recognize him in another form, and we get used to God, and we take him for granted. We say, well, I come to church, I lift a hand, I say this, God does this, and God doesn't do it. You know why? He wants intimacy. He wants communion. He wants communication. What we've been doing here for the past hour, you know what we've been doing is communion with him. Intimacy. This revival is about God loving on his church and his church loving on him. Now I'm telling you something, folks, this is changing my life. It is changing my life as I come into his presence. It's not preliminaries. It's not a form. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not us just, you know, out of a sense of duty, acquiescing to God. No, he is our Father. He wants to hear your voice. He's heard the choir. It's awesome. It always is. I feel strong as a result of plugging in to First Assembly this morning. I've been ministered to, but I'm telling you right now, that choir cannot do my praising for me, and that choir cannot do your praising for you. And if you think that you're insignificant and you're nobody and God don't know you, I'm telling you, God's waiting to hear your voice in the midst of everything going on. God wants to see your hands. God wants to hear you give him a hand of praise. Why don't you clap your hands for the glory of God? Go ahead. As you clap your hands, why don't you say, I love you, Jesus. Intimacy. This is what I learned on the floor at Brownsville Assembly of God. And when I got up, God's helped me memorize books of the Bible. I quoted the books of Timothy and Ephesians and Philippians, portraying the Apostle Paul. And I preached revivals all of my life. And I fasted 21 days and 10 days and 7 and 3 and days. And God's helped me do it. To God be the glory. But I felt so inadequate. I felt like I was a kindergartner. And I said to Pastor, how have I missed it all these years? He said, John, you really haven't. He said, this is a new wave of God. And all God wants is just for you to let him love on you. And if you will let him, and if you will return that love, there's going to be an intimacy like you've never experienced before. Ladies and gentlemen, you are more than an ambassador in his kingdom. You're more than a servant in his court. You're more than a soldier in his army. You are more than a disciple in his ministry. You are more than a friend in his circle. How many knows you are a children in his family? You are a child in his family. We are children in his family. And we're even closer than children. How many knows we are members of his body? Amen. We are close to him. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. The Bible says God walked with Adam. Now, it sounds like the same thing, but it's not. Because God can walk with you, but if you don't want to walk with him, there's going to be separation and division. God walked with Adam, but Adam took off. But Enoch walked with God, and he kept on a walking, and he kept on a walking. And he's one of my favorite heroes. He got closer to God's home than he did his own. And God said, Enoch, come and spend the day with me. And there's no night there. He's been there ever since. Amen. You just keep on a walking, and you keep on a walking until finally you walk right into the hallowed halls of heaven. What are you saying? I'm saying God can walk with you and bless you, and that still is not what it's all about. God wants you to say, hey, I choose to walk with you. I'm going to commune with you. I'm going to worship you. I'm not more than just relationship. I want to fellowship with the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil cannot stop that if you make up your mind to do that. And here's the analogy God gave me. You know, if you reduce him to a formula, the first formula, the Red Sea formula, he never parts the water till you get there. And so those of you that are wrestling with the future and finances and sending a kid to college and selling a home or buying a home, and you're worried and you don't see how it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, he may not even show you how it's going to happen. Most of the time, he don't part the water till you get there. And so just keep on moving forward, because when you get there, how many knows when they got there, the waters parted. And so I've noticed that in my life time and again when I would try to share with Debbie or John Wesley some direction, and boy, they didn't really readily receive it, because John Wesley was happy in a school, and you know, God was leading me back on the field again, and he had his friends, and God would tell me, don't, just leave it to me. I won't part the waters till you get there. But when we got at that time, the waters parted and there was a peace. Ladies and gentlemen, God knows how to do that. But then there is that sense and that tendency in our lives to get comfortable with God doing that. And then we come, and I call this the Jordan principle. We come to the waters again, and we get there and they don't part. And we stand there and they don't part. And some of you are there. You say, hey, God, you parted the Red Sea, but why aren't you parting the Jordan waters? God said, because I'm not a principle and I'm not a formula. I want you to listen to me. I want you to be so close to me because, you see, I want you to step in the waters. There again, the intimacy, the communion, the relationship. You hear his voice. It's about obedience. It's about walking with him. So God parted the waters at the Red Sea when they got there, but they could have stood there all day at Jordan and the waters didn't part. But when they obeyed God and stepped in, how many knows the waters parted? Listen to the voice of God. Get close to him. The waters are going to be divided. But then there is another water, body of water. It's the Sea of Galilee. This is the Galilee Sea principle. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you get there, the waters part. Sometimes they don't listen. Spend time with him. Lay on your face. Get close to him. That still small voice becomes real loud when you get close to it. How many knows that? And short prayers reach the throne if you don't live too far away. How many knows that? And so God's saying, I want you to come into my presence and stay there. You see, we want things. We want principles. We want some kind of formula. He wants fellowship. And so he will withhold that blessing from you until all you want is him. And when you get at that place, then the blessings begin to flow. But what happens when you step out of the water and it don't part? Simon did. How many knows there's times he wants you to walk on the water? Shout amen, somebody. There's times he wants you just to walk on the water. So all I'm saying, he can't be reduced or deduced to a formula. He's a person, and God wants intimacy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what this revival is all about. This last wave of glory that's in the land is about you getting close to the Father and him getting close to you. And for those of you that follow afar off, I'm telling you, the dividing line's being drawn. There's a revival in the land. The Holy Spirit is moving, and God's bringing a group of people together that are saying, why can't we do the works of Christ? Why can't we see miracles performed? Why can't we see lives transformed? We're not going to be satisfied with less than God's very best. Devil, you played a trip on our mind for so long. We thought that we had to stand outside the gates and outside the courts and just hear about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. Not on your life. The mightiest move of God is on the horizon. And this church's finest hour is not behind you. It's in front of you. I said, it's in front of you, folks. Get ready. I said, get ready. But it's all about intimacy, which leads to that word intensity. Intensity. It just stands to reason. The closer you get to a light, the more intense. The closer you get to the fire, the more intense. I felt that the other night. You know, the night before Christmas Eve, I'd been praying that day, and to be honest with you, I thought, well, I got one more night and I can rest a few days. And I was trying to think about Christmas and catching up on some things, and God chided me and scolded me. How many of you have been slapped by God? Amen. You know it when he does. He said, there's somebody going to be there tonight that needs Jesus. God told me that, and I was good for nothing but just seeking God for that Monday night. Oh, you talk about intense. I was so intense. Deb wanted to do some shopping. I said, you go ahead. I can't. I said, somebody's going to be there tonight. You know, in my mind, this last day revival, I think, you know, Christmas Eve, you'll have a nice little Vesper service, you know, and the faithful few will show up and the nucleus will be there. And boy, I'm telling you something, folks, God's doing something just to literally upset your apple cart. How many knows? He's blowing our mind. When I came in here and saw that crowd of people, and one pastor, Brother Dylan, had brought 50-some people from his church, and this place started filling up, and all I could think was, somebody needs Jesus, somebody needs Jesus, somebody needs Jesus. I didn't know it was Christmas. I didn't know what I was going to do the next day. I thought I was going to die that night after we got that I'm talking about intense, folks. I'm talking about intensity. The glory of the Lord is so heavy. And Jerry came out and he was wired and fired. How many remembers that night? Amen. I mean, he felt the same thing. And you know what? We don't talk to each other during the day. We don't communicate with each other during the day. Steve Hill and John Kilpatrick never get together. Once every 3 months, they'll sit down and talk. But how many knows God knows how to orchestrate a revival. I said, God knows how to orchestrate a revival. And almost immediately, the sound system messed up and different things. Boy, that's a good sign. I said, that's a good sign. Folks, anytime the devil starts squealing, get ready. I said, anytime things start going wrong, I'm telling you, the devil's mad. He don't want God to have his way. And so disruptions, distractions, divisions, that don't discourage me. I said, devil, we got your number today. Something good is getting ready to happen, and you sense it, and you know it. I was so intense in that message, because I knew somebody needed Jesus. Gave that altar call. Probably 50 to 75 people came down who said, I'm lukewarm, and I need to get right with God, and I need to come clean and clear. But I still knew there was a sinner out there that needed Jesus. It was during the service as we was praying for people, and the glory was so heavy. My wife said, Johnson, my right ear was burning. Now, folks, I don't understand all that, but I'm going to tell you right now, when the fire of God's presence comes into this building, you get ready for some signs. You get ready to feel some things you haven't felt before. Because I don't understand. I remember one night in Brownsville Assembly, all of a sudden, everybody on the platform started taking their shoes off at the same time. And it wasn't the fact that somebody said, this is holy ground, take your shoes off. Their feet were burning. Amen. Their feet was on fire. And it wasn't athlete's feet either, ladies and gentlemen. It was the glory of the Lord. And they took their shoes off as God came in that place. When God comes down in this church, I want you to get ready, folks. You think we've had revival. No. You don't know what revival is. You ain't seen anything yet, folks. I said, God is going to come down. And I'll tell you something, folks. As we were praying for people, and I thought, whoa, Lord, this is so awesome. I thought we was going to kind of come in for a nice, neat little landing, then pick up next Sunday, you know, and go on. And God said, you just stop your thinking. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The devil thought and got cast out of heaven. How many knows that? Don't even use this head right here. You hunger after God, get intimate with him. The intensity is going to increase. And I remember somewhere during that service, as I was sitting down, just overwhelmed by the glory of his presence, a man came running to me, and he was crying, he was laughing. He said, this is the greatest Christmas present. He said, for 7 years, I've been praying for my boy to be saved. He's been in the Philippines, said he's been in the Navy, said he turned into an atheist. He said, that's him right down there on the front row. And I looked, and he was shaking on the power of God. And Gary was on one side with a hand up in the air, and God was on the other. Amen. I knew between Gary and God, he's in good hands. Amen. I'm telling you, God saved that soul the night before Christmas. Christmas Eve. How many knows God wants to do more? I said, God wants to do more. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, that's about the only thing that'll really thrill me anymore. I'm not really excited about my preaching. I couldn't wait to get back here. I don't know. I felt like a fish out of water over these past few days, because there's something intense about the glory cloud. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not talking about working something up. I'm not talking about the fast tongue of a swift-talking preacher. I'm not talking about playing on your emotions, folks. I'm not talking about working a crowd. I'm talking about pure God. I'm so hungry just for pure God. Nothing added, no trappings, no religious verbiage or volume, you know, or any of this. I'm talking about just pure Holy Ghost showing up. You talk about fire, you talk about heat, you talk about intensity, folks. Not only is your ear going to start burning, God's going to burn in your spirit. You're going to leave here totally changed, set free, justified, sanctified, Holy Ghostified. He can do it all in one fell swoop. I said, in one fell swoop, God can heal your mind, body, soul, past, present, future, family, finances. How many knows he's a mighty awesome God? And so now here's the foundation. He just wants you to be with him. He wants you to come in that alignment, that close communion, relationship and fellowship with him. Intimacy, say intimacy. And I cannot create that for you with God. Choir is awesome. These people are praying. But there are some of you that are still in the peripheral. You may be here tomorrow night, but you may not. You may be here Tuesday night. And you say, what's all the hoopla? For 11 weeks, 12 weeks, lives have been changed. It's more than just a revival, folks. We actually believe that this is the revival that's going to precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what you're doing tomorrow night really means very little compared to the big picture. And the big picture, God's loving on his church. He's bringing us back close to him. He's setting us free from junk, amen. There's an intimacy that's being born. There's an intensity. And I thought, Lord, I was raised in Pentecost. I was raised in the glory. I was raised in a church called Glory Hill. 25 people, 12 of them my family. And we used to pray that the Holy Ghost would come down and Dad wouldn't get to preach. Because we didn't like long-winded preachers, do you? But anyway, I never will forget as, shut up. As we would pray. I remember those nights. Me and my brothers, 10 kids in the family. I remember those nights of glory, praise, and victory. When all of a sudden, I'd look at Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave sat on the front. Uncle Dave was blind. Couldn't see a thing, but when the glory got close, his ears would begin to wiggle. And I knew that was a sign we was going to have a breakthrough, and Dad wouldn't get to preach. And so I'd tell my brothers, let's sing louder. Let's pour it on. Amen. And we didn't know the words of the song, but it didn't make a whole lot of difference. I've learned that with God. You see, he don't care about your smartness because he don't need your smartness. He's smart enough by himself. Amen. And so he just needs you to be intimate and worship him and draw nigh to him. He's not wanting you to try to be a man of God and a woman of God. He's wanting some children. I said he wants some children of God that'll enjoy his presence and rejoice because he's Lord and he's a holy heavenly Father. And right there in our simplicity and sincerity, Uncle Dave's ears wiggling. They're singing songs like a mighty sea. My little brother would sing, I like cottage cheese, as loud as he could sing it. Didn't make a bit of difference. I'm telling you, the glory cloud was there. They would sing that song, then awake you saints of the Lord. Why slumber when the end is near? And I'm telling you, it's hard to sing fast when you don't know the words. And those old songs, they were really fast. And we'd sing, then awake you saints of the Lord. Why slubba, lubba, lubba, lubba. Amen. And we just kept on a singing, and the glory got closer. And then I'd look at Brother Willie. Brother Willie had a wooden leg. But when the glory came close, Brother Willie would start to hit that floor with that wooden leg just like that. I remember the noise. I can hear it today. As he would hit that, I'd look back at Sister Opal. Sister Opal, ladies and gentlemen, she was a saint. And when her lips started quivering, I knew that there was something there that man could manufacture or conjure. I told my brother, sing louder, sing longer. Dad's not going to get to preach tonight, I don't think. And we would pour it on. The Holy Ghost would start moving. Brother Jesse sat at the back. Brother Jesse drove a tractor to church every day. It was a country church by the side of the road. And he would come there, but he would sleep through most services. He would snore like it was midnight there on the back. Had everything but a pillow and blanket. Amen. But when the glory came in, oh, he couldn't sleep. I'm telling you, folks, when God walks in a building, they're not going to be any sleeping, slumber, slipping, sliding saints. How many knows? There's going to be intensity. Hallelujah. And when I saw Brother Jesse cup his hand over his ear like that and lean up on the pew, I knew that something from another world was headed that way. And I said, sing louder, no preaching. I just knew we was going to have a breakthrough. Ladies and gentlemen, then I would look at my mom. She's in heaven today. But and this is the first time I preached when I know that she's in another world. She hadn't been in the same world with me, but I'm so happy and rejoicing that she's free from pain. Because you see, she was a great saint, the greatest saint I've known. And I would look at her when I saw that glory come on her face. I knew we was going to have a breakthrough. She would let out a holy hallelujah yelp and begin to dance a Holy Ghost jitterbug, and people would start praising God, shouting, running the aisles. Cats and dogs would come in at times. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we had Holy Ghost breakthrough. I was raised in the fire. I choke in the smoke. I'm sick of everything but him. I want him. I said, I want him. How many wants to see the glory? I said, how many wants to see the glory? Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. My God, I want you. Oh, God, I'm high. Lift your hands and praise him. Lift your hands and praise him. Lift your hands and praise him. Father, we love you. We worship you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to be seated just for a moment. You see, these words have reverberated through my spirit for days. The two words, intimacy and intensity. There's still a little boy down deep inside of the man you're looking at. The boy that was raised in the country church by the side of the road. The boy left the country church. The boy climbed the ladder, was elected, selected for positions, reached some sense of success, semblance of success in the eyes of man, climbed the ladder, found out it was against the wrong wall, came all the way back, the country church by the side of the road, went back there, preached revival, laid on my face, and God said, son, this is what it's all about. Fellowship with me. Fellowship with me. Just spend time with me. Just spend time in my presence. Ladies and gentlemen, I've talked two words, intimacy and intensity. But God gave me another word that is a revival word for this last day outpouring of his glory, and it's called integrity. Say it with me. Integrity. Intimacy. Intensity. But when God hit me with this, it was like a bolt and a jolt of lightning and thunder. God says, son, this revival is about getting close to me, enjoying the heat, fires of my presence. In the book of Acts, it became more intense. From addition, they were added to the church, to multiplication, to multiply greatly. The lame were healed. Two were struck dead. Saul struck blind. Simon dumb. From power to great power. It's going to get more intense. You're going to see Ananias and Sapphira again. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Not playing games, not trying to make something up, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to get the whole book of Acts coming back with greater power and intensity. And people are going to stand on that glory cloud. People's ears burning, head burning, face burning. The glory's so heavy. People being healed, set free from sin, self, Satan, sickness all of a sudden. It's not going to be unusual for somebody to die. I believe that's going to happen. I really do. It's not that I'm seeking that, but I'm telling you right now, you see, this revival is all about getting right with God. And you stand in his presence with sin in you, it's not only going to hurt the heart of God, it's going to destroy you. Integrity, say integrity. I read in the book of Webster's Dictionary, integrity, an unimpaired condition, honesty, and soundness. There's a difference between anointing and integrity. Ladies and gentlemen, Samson had anointing. Joseph had integrity. Samson was anointed to deliver his people, not to get in bed with the enemy. But Joseph had integrity. You see, anointing is a gift God gives, but integrity is something God puts in you. It's there. David said, I stand in my integrity. You've proven me by my integrity. I have walked in mine integrity. God told Solomon, if you walk in integrity like David your father, I will establish your throne. David says, judge me according to mine integrity. You see, the devil was anointed, but the devil didn't have integrity. And so I thank God for the anointing. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If there's something that God is telling me to tell you today, that is, get right. Get right. There's a difference between gifts and fruits. You see, gifts are given, but fruit is grown. Character is developed. You either are a character or you have character. How many knows what I'm saying? And there's a difference between a wise man and a wise guy. Shout amen, somebody. In the midst of this sin-sick, hell-bent, demon-infested society, where anything and everything goes, and Hollywood holiness has crept into the church, God's saying, I want to take all the junk out of you. And I want to just take a few moments to pay tribute to my mom, because this word really resembles her life. Integrity. Integrity. She believed it. She lived it. It wasn't just the shout. Down deep inside, the commitment to God was so awesome that she instilled within us 10 kids, 7 of us in the ministry. All of us saved. Live for Jesus. It's never right to do wrong. Say that with me. It's never right to do wrong. Say it again. It's never right. Situation ethics. It's not right, folks. It's never right to do wrong. When I was a kid, I felt so close to mom, and I felt she was so close to God. When the trumpet sounded, I wanted to be around her because I knew she was ready to go. If she didn't make it, nobody had a chance. How many knows people like that? And on the way up, I was going to grab her leg, and I was just going to go up with her as a kid. Now, she lived real close to God. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. As time progressed, she went through some suffering, but she kept her integrity, her commitment to God. She stayed close to Jesus Christ. And I remember, you know, coming back from the field and sitting down with her. And I mean, there's no gray area. It's black and white. But she told me the story how she got saved, and here's how it happened. Raised a nominal church. Really stopped going to church. Her and dad started a tire business in Potosi, Missouri. Family coming on. He pastored the country churches. Never was a full-time pastor. But during that time, mom took care of the books. And it was important to her that people paid their bills. They need the money. But it was instilled within her, that's the way to live. They would go back to Salem, Missouri, 60 miles away, to see family and friends. God had his eye on them, even though they weren't living for the Lord and they weren't in church. There was a light, and she'd tell me the story. There's a light that would follow us, and it bothered us. And she said, Vernon, my dad would respond, that light, what is that? Mom was praying, but she didn't know what that light was. It bothered him. And finally, when they came back from Salem, she said, let's go to church. Dad assumed she wanted to go to the nominal church, the little Baptist church that they had been to. They felt comfortable there because they'd been to the Pentecostal church and the worship was too loud, and they just didn't fit in there. And so they wanted to go to the other church, but Mom said, no, I want us to go to the Assembly of God church. Dad said, why? She said, well, the pastor there bought some tires on credit, and he pays his bills every Monday. And said last Monday all he could pay was 75 cents. But said he came by and paid 75 cents. And she said, let's go there. Ladies and gentlemen, they walked in that church. That pastor that night preached a message entitled Signs in the Heavens and Lights in the Sky. The Holy Ghost, how many knows God knows how to orchestrate a revival and bring people? Holy Ghost got a hold of Mom. Needless to say, she ran down, gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. Years later, 10 kids follow along, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, called to preach. All because a preacher paid 75 cents on Monday on tires. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to me. I'm under conviction. I don't know that there's sin in me today, but I know that the rest of my life, I'm going to magnify, I'm going to major, I'm going to emphasize the importance of integrity. Because somebody's watching you. Mom's in heaven right now. Because a preacher, Brother Harrison, who had a big family, who came and got tires on credit. He couldn't pay as much as he wanted, but he told my dad, I will pay these tires off. 75 cents he paid. And the next Sunday, Mom got saved. How many knows it's worth it to live for the Lord and to stay close to Jesus? I heard a story, a little humorous, but has a serious connotation. The lawyer was setting up office wanting to impress people, and this was really his first day on the job. But he saw a man walking up the sidewalk. He thought, oh boy, what a deal. This is my first customer. And so he picked up the phone and acted like he was talking to somebody. As the man walked in and he said, yes, sir, we handle lawsuits. We handle divorces. We handle incorporations. Says, we do it all. In fact, we've done about everything, and we've really been successful in these areas. And any way we can help you, we're more than willing and able to help you. Yes, sir, thank you for calling. Hung the phone up, looked at the man, said, can I help you? He said, well, I'm not for sure. He said, I'm from the phone company. I've come to hook up your phone. Amen. Ladies. I really don't need to elaborate on that one, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's some of that in all of us. Say amen, somebody. Well, I didn't hear a big amen there. You think it's your brother and your sister, but it's not me. A man who read the Gospel of Luke once a week for 13 years stood up at an assembly the other day, and he said, the summation is this. You do what you do because you are what you are. He said, for 13 years, God's led me to read the Gospel of Luke once a week. And he said, you do what you do because you are what you are. As I stand before you today, I'm going to give another altar call. The Holy Spirit's going to, with that invisible hand, is going to move across this congregation. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything in you that offends him, that intimacy, that intensity, that same anointing that helps can destroy you. That same anointing that helps to heal you can kill you because of sin that's in you. He's a holy God. The old economy, people died because of a holy God, because there was junk in them. I want God to set me free from all junk. I want God to set me free from everything and anything because I want intimacy and I want intensity in the presence and the glory of God. Friday, I couldn't sleep. Got up from my brother's house, bedroom, 2 o'clock in the morning, woke him up, said, I gotta go be with Mom. Went to the hospital, I got a bed as close to hers as I could. We knew it was a matter of time. Massive stroke, now she was paralyzed on both sides. I was there and I would rub her face and I would pray over her. And like you, and it so did encourage me this morning for Pastor to bring words of comfort to me. And I'm gonna tell you something, folks, the longer I live, the more I appreciate pastors. I'm going to tell you, you got one great pastor here at First Assembly. How many know is that Brother Pacer? Kind. You see, this is not my gift. My gift is not going into hospitals and comforting people, but this is his gift. And I'm telling you right now, folks, it is a gift that is so needed because, you see, I haven't been here before. I've walked with people through that valley of shadow, but it's altogether different. How many knows that? If you don't, you will know it. When you lose somebody near and dear to you. Brother Baser's kind, comforting words. And then Brother Dylan, comforting words, who's I'm not going to say he lost his mother. You know, when you know where something's at, it's not lost. How many knows that? So we didn't lose mom. How many knows we know where she's at? Brother Dillon was so kind and comforting in his words. But I would try my best to comfort mom, and she would respond the best she could, but she could barely respond. I wanted the sisters there so bad. They were coming in. I spent the night there with mom, prayed with her, asked God to do me a favor. I said, God, I believe that you owe me a favor because of what Jesus did at Calvary. And that's the only reason I'm asking you. Don't let mom suffer. Don't let her be a vegetable for 10, 11, 12 years. I've seen that happen. Lord, she wanted to go to heaven before she had the strokes. Would you please either raise her up here in healing, health, or take her on to glory? Thank God he answers prayers. How many knows that? But anyway, my sisters came in. Here's the way it happened. As they were praying with mom and they were rubbing her face, and they were singing songs, the old songs I was raised on, the old songs that we used to sing, bygone days of yesteryear in the country church by the side of the road. She couldn't respond, but she knew the sound of those songs. As they were singing those songs, four sisters and a sister-in-law, they came to the song, Jesus is the Waymaker. How many remembers that song? Jesus is the Waymaker. When they came to that song, my sister-in-law looked out and saw an angel standing in the cloud and said, look, there's an angel. Mom took one breath, and the angel took her on to glory to be with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Just as sure as I stand here today, I believe in heaven. I know there's a real place where real people are. And someday soon, I will see mom again. You're going to see your loved ones again. I'm telling you, the only thing that means anything is to know that all is well, that you're clean inside, and you're ready to meet your maker. Jesus is coming. The church is leaving. Death is imminent. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a prophet of gloom and doom. I'm not even discouraged today. Oh, I'm going to weep. You can rest assured I'll weep. But I'm telling you, there's a joy knowing that all is well when you're right with God. You're going to face him, not blush with embarrassment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise. I want you to stand to your feet, lift your hands, and praise him all over this auditorium. Praise him in the back, praise him in the front. Lift your voice and praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. His name is so wonderful. Would you just lift that name up, and would you let that name fall off your lips? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him just for a few seconds, please. Praise him. I believe God wants to give us a great altar call today. I really feel that. I really feel that. Jesus, I feel your presence. I'm going to ask that nobody leave the building just for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes, would you just stand in his presence? This revival is not about getting close. It's about staying close and developing a relationship. You don't know somebody because you met them one night. You know them because you make an effort to get to know them. I want everybody to just open your eyes and look this direction. Abraham Lincoln said, when he was criticized from all fronts, he said, I will so conduct the affairs of this office when I come to the end of my tenure and my life, if I've lost every friend, I'll still have one, and that's that person inside me. Live with myself. Mighty men of God have been anointed to preach like a house of fire, an angel from heaven, and yet the dark side would surface, private times, adultery, fornication, pornography, junk. I don't want to go that route. I want to be close to him. I don't care if you remember a message I preached, but if you remember that God hit you hard, took junk out of you, changed your life, and you leave with a lease on life, honing in on heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what this revival is all about. The man was out stealing. His boy was with him. The man, before he stole, he looked to the right, then he looked to the left, then he looked in front, then he looked behind, looked all around. He reached out to take what he was after. His son said, Dad, you forgot to look up. You see, the boy had been to Sunday school. How many knows there's an eye that watches us? It's not what you say about me. It's not what I say about you. It's what God knows about us. Reputation is what people think about you. Character is God knowing you. The midnight hour, the wee morning hours, pulls those covers off of us, sees us the way we are. I'm giving a call for people to get right with God today. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. As an evangelist, my greatest joy is to see people get clean, get real, the intense intimacy with Jesus, integrity instilled within our spirits, we can sleep at night, not tossing and turning, knowing the death angel taps us on the shoulder. All is well, all is right. John Davis, there's some things in me I need God to take out. I just felt a few moments ago that there's some business dealings going on in somebody's life. And there's some shadiness. And you wouldn't call it that. The only thing is, in the intense heat of his presence, you realize there's no shadow of turning in him. It's all light. It's purity. He's a holy God. He's a holy God. I felt God show me a while ago that in business dealings, God wants to check and change some people. Number two, I believe God showed me a while ago that in marital situations, there's some things, some sneaking around, some things nobody knows about, but God does. I felt God show me a while ago that in this building, his children are here, and there's still some stuff in some of us. And God says, I want to take it out. Just give the call. I'll do the rest. The greatest thing you can do is be honest. Don't lie. Don't lie in the presence of a holy God. You see, you're going to die soon. Jesus is coming sooner. I really believe that. So just be totally honest. John Davis, there's things in me I need God to take out. I want God to instill his righteousness, his soundness, his integrity in me. I feel his anointing. I thank God for his gifts. He's been good to me, mighty good to me. But John, I'm starting to get a little bit sick of myself. I'm starting to feel a discomfort in me. I know it's the Holy Ghost. He's wanting to set me free from some things. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? The Holy Ghost moves across this building right now. If the Holy Spirit deals with you, please put your pride in that pew and leave it there. Don't you even let that pride jump up and let you leave the way you came. Be totally honest and sound in his presence. John Davis, there's things in me I need God to take out. You don't need to tell me what it is. You don't need to go before a board and confess every detail of your life. It's you and God. It's between a man and his maker, I'm telling you. If it'll help you to go to a man of God and confess, do it. But I'm telling you right now, you don't need to go for a bunch of politicians and let them talk about it when you leave. Marital situations, business dealings. John Davis, in my own personal life, there's things in me I want God to take out of me. I need to be set free. Would you pray for me right now? I'll do it. Raise your hand if I'm talking to you.